And welcome to a cast of Ice and Fire, the Game of Thrones podcast of MovieMingler.com. I'm Nick of the House Stark, and I'm joined by Tate Flower from the Reach.
Flowers now.
Formerly the House Tyrell.
Formerly from the House Tyrell. I'm like Prince. I'm just going to keep on changing every
few years. Well, Cersei might kill you, so you got to be careful.
Nobody kills Prince.
And Frank of the House Baratheon, who had a very good day.
I did have a very good day.
Or mingling with my family. I have a daughter. You have a son. Let's wed them.
It's just like Ned and Rob all over again. Yes.
So our families mingled this week.
They did mingle.
Hmm. Movie mingled.
A bit of a cringy scene, but...
I thought it was okay. I thought it was sweet. It was nice to see it was nice to see Arya have a nice moment. I know she's a bit of a psycho sometimes, but overall, it was nice.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, beautiful.
Because she's had a pretty bad experience.
It's been a rough
years.
I'd just be like, get out, mate. Get out while you still can.
And today we are looking at Season 8, Episode 2 of Game of Thrones, The Night of the Seven Kingdoms. We're going to be talking spoilers, so if you haven't seen the episode, turn off now because we're going to talk about everything. So let's get going straight away. And I'll just go to each one of you and just say, what did you think, very briefly, of today's episode? Who wants to go first? Tate, you want to go first and say what you thought of tonight's episode?
Yeah, I liked it. I think it just continues on from episode one. Feels like it's just part two before we obviously get to the Battle of Winterfell for the next episode, where it concludes. There were some great moments. I cried again, ooh, but not maybe in... the bit that you said was emotional to you.
Oh, I was going to wonder. Well, let's get to it when we get to it, and we'll get deeper and discuss. Because I got pretty emotional during one scene.
There was actually three points where I was kind of emotional. Okay, worked out. One where I really got emotional.
What about you, Frank? What did you think of this
episode?
Enjoyed
it a lot. Better than last week's.
Oh, yeah.
I do think it was a better episode than last week. All in Winterfell. There are a couple of moments. I didn't love Arya and Gendry. And I didn't really love Tormund's stupid story.
Leave Tormund alone.
No, I like Tormund. I like that.
He's just a confused like Tormund. Man.
It was awkward.
It wasn't. Yeah, it was awkward.
But I think it was meant to be awkward.
I know. So
he's north of the wall.
I don't know. It was just a bit odd.
They do things differently up there.
Some of the attempts at humour, I think, fall a little flat at times.
Yeah, but it's nice to see everyone having a little. Okay, it's not a lot of fun, but they're.
No, it is
it's a nice calm before the storm.
We'll get to it. But like to be honest, I think most of the people, bar a couple of those people who are sitting around, will probably die next week. So it's not just their last chance in you know the world of the show. It's our last chance to spend time with them
before the shit hits the fan.
Yeah, especially. But I do think some of the jokes just fall a bit flat.
I very much enjoyed the episode, and like Tate, I think it was basically really. This was the end of the first episode. In many ways, the first episode was this 100-minute episode, like episode one and two together, because it felt like just an all-big first act before shit hits the fan next week. I liked it. I really enjoyed the calm before the storm. It was nice to have such a quiet episode. It's interesting, the writer of the episode, Brian Cogman, I listened to an interview like last week somewhere, and he talked about how this was his favorite episode to write this year.
Yeah.
Because he said it felt like old Game of Thrones. Instead of like non-stop action, instead of jumping around everywhere, he just got to spend time with the characters and write the characters. He loved it.
The first two episodes have felt like that.
Yeah, well, the first episode was a little bit faster paced because everyone's meeting each other and it's quick.
But it still felt like a season four, season three.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones episode.
And especially when you compare to season seven, just went insane in the speed. But like this episode felt even calmer. Like after the first 10 minutes with Danny and stuff, once we get ready for the Night King to come, we have like half an hour of just everyone talking and it's a very quiet episode. And they did it on purpose. There's like hardly no music in the background. There's like no background noise. It's all quiet in the night. It's really meant to be like the quiet before the storm. You know, it just felt... Yeah. I don't think we've ever seen an episode of Game of Thrones this quiet.
I don't know. I really like the song though that Podrick sings.
He's a good singer.
Which was then done by Florence and the Machine at the end.
But he sang it for real in the episode.
Yeah, the actor.
They used his voice.
Like I said, he's a good singer.
So anyway,
D&D wanted to use his voice. They said he's got a good singing voice.
Yeah, did you watch Inside the... Did you watch
yeah, it? Yeah, I
saw that too. So anyway, let's get on to the episode. Normally on the show, we jump from location to location and then I say what happened in that location and then everyone discusses it. But because everything happened at Winterfell, there's only one location to jump to. So let's see what happened at Winterfell. The Battle of Winterfell is approaching. Jaime goes on trial. Jaime gets forgiven. Theon shows up. Arya has some fun with Gendry. Arya talks to the Hound. Some people have a quiet conversation before the impending doom. Grey Worm and Missandei talk about their future. Bronn doesn't show up.
Cersei.
doesn't show up. And mostly it's just people hanging out before the shit hits the fan next week. And it ends with the army of the dead right on the doorstep. So, I mean, let's just talk about it all then, because it all happened 100% at Winterfell. We've never had an episode like this before, because normally when you have one location, it's because there's a big battle happening, or you know, that's pretty much the only time we have one location. This is like officially the first time ever we've had only one location that's not a battle episode.
Yeah.
So anyway, where do you want to start? We can start right at the beginning to make it easy. What did you think of Jamie and his trial and some of the drama that happened there? Someone talk.
Hey, I liked it. I liked Jamie's trial. I think we see Daenerys getting a little bit crazy.
A little bit crazy?
Just a little bit more crazy.
She's nuts now.
She's not liking on Tyrion.
It's not subtle anymore.
She's not trusting anyone.
It's not subtle anymore.
I think she would have happily burnt Jamie.
If
she wasn't talked out of it. And Sansa steps in.
Talked out of it. Sansa just sort of took over. Which I don't have a problem with, by the way. But.
Oh, I have no problem at all. Sansa is the gold star of the... She's like the best leader so far. Mm-hmm. This season, the best leader. Jon is silly.
MVP now.
Jon's preoccupied.
Jon is a great heroic person, and I would definitely bend the knee to him in real life. Like, I think he'd be a great king if he had a good advisor with him.
Yeah, he's just focusing on the battle, though.
But Daenerys is a sociopathic psycho who wants to burn everyone. Yeah, and Sansa is just a great balance of it all. She's got a brain... But she's also, and she's harder than John, I reckon. I think she's harder than John.
Oh, absolutely.
But she's not a psycho like Danny, so she's like perfect.
Mm.
That was a great scene. That was really great. And I'm glad that they didn't pay the tension too long. Because, you know, we talked last week that we thought, oh, is Jamie going to die or not? Nah, they didn't. They just got it out of the way really quickly. Mm-hmm. I love the drama that was building there. I mean, they're not even subtle now about Daenerys. It's not even subtle now.
When Tyrion steps up to.
She's so, the way she talks back to him too. Like, yeah. Oh my God. She. Let me tell you this. In real life, if this was happening in real life, and if I was Tyrion, not Jorah, because Jorah's in love with her, so that's never going to happen, but if I was Tyrion, Varys, anyone else now, the minute you find out that Jon is the real heir,
mm-hmm.
the minute you find out and you remember that Jon can fly a dragon as well, and that he's not a sociopathic psycho who wants to burn everyone, I would like say thanks for the time, Danny. I would say goodbye to her now. Because when you watch this episode, she can't be a ruler. She can't be a good ruler anymore. She's going to the point where she's lost the plot.
Mm.
Well, she goes.
She's too scary,
and she goes straight to the point of denial at the end of the episode.
We have to get there because I was a little bit disappointed in that scene, just a touch, because I think it was way too quick. But that's for later on. I think last pod, I said when I rewatched the whole show, she's a great character because she does a lot of amazing things, and she does some really dark things. But she, unlike her brother, who never listened to anyone, and the Mad King, who was a psycho, she actually does listen to people sometimes, and we see it again this week with Jorah. You can get to her heart. But the problem is this. I can nearly guarantee you this. It went straight to my number one prediction for next week that I guarantee is going to happen is Jorah's dead. Jorah's dead.
Do you think so?
I think Jorah's dead because once Jorah's dead, you can't get to her anymore.
Well, I think there is.
I think she's who's going to talk her down anymore? Yeah. She doesn't listen to Tyrion. She doesn't listen to anyone. And she's going to be completely at odds with Jon no matter how nice Jon is. That's going to break her. I think you kill Jorah. I don't know. I don't say I want this, but I just thought Jorah's so dead now because now you can't talk her out of it. Because you go to season 4.
Yeah.
I can't remember all the details, but in season 4 near the end, or was it 3? It might be 3. No, she's a Marine. It's season 4 during Marine. There's a moment where she wants to go crazy because the slave masters took the cities back and she's sending Daario back to do something horrible. And then, you know, to murder everyone because that's what Danny does.
Tell Daario that I said this. And she said, hold on, no. Tell Daario that you talked me out of it.
But that's the scene I'm coming back to because she's going to do something psychotic.
And
Jorah talks her out of it. He talked her down.
Yeah, because and he then, says, I was in trouble for selling slaves before. You have to show mercy, etc., etc.
Which is just continuous proof, like we saw this week, that Jorah has a gateway to her heart.
Yeah.
So that's why, as a writer of the show, you go, well, if I kill Jorah, then she's fucked. Like, because no one can talk to her anymore.
Yeah.
The only realistic option now for everyone, once you find this out now, which is inevitable, it's a ticking time bomb, once everyone else finds out, who would actually follow her now? Except a few people, like some of the slaves, but who would actually follow her now? Because she is so scary. Like, you'd be frightened to talk to her.
Yeah.
You watch this episode now, and there's, like, nearly no other way it can end now. There's no way this show can end with Jon and Danny getting married or Danny on the throne. Like you watch, unless it's just bad Danny writing. It just seems like it's either John or something else. But like, she's clearly not fit for the throne.
Nah.
And it's so obvious now.
Well, we go back to that dreams, the scene in the House of the Undead where she can't reach the throne.
Yeah, and it's snowing on the throne. Symbolism.
That's too obvious, that symbolism. But
well, he's not even a snow anyway.
Yeah, but no, but she's turned into a real... Well, I said last week she's the villain.
Maybe. Well, it matters what they do now.
Yeah.
It matters what they how they play the cards. You've got to be careful, though, because you've had such a long build-up. There's only 4 episodes left.
Yeah, I know.
So it's just, you've got to play it right. So she doesn't necessarily... You could have her not... I don't think she could. She still could sacrifice in a heroic way, but maybe. Can she? Maybe she goes... I don't know.
No, we'll get back to her.
But no one in their right mind now, unless you're just completely infatuated with her, like Jorah, yeah. because she is Emilia Clarke, you wouldn't follow her
anymore. But even then, Jorah hasn't ever really... Like, I mean, she's not stupid. She must know how he feels about her.
Yeah,
but there's never been that actual talk between them, has there? It's just been left awkward. Unsaid. So that's why I was wondering if it happens before he dies.
Probably
if
not.
If he finally gets it out before he dies.
I always
love you guys. You know?
Well, next week's going to be really hard because I don't want anyone to die. I really don't.
And they're going to clean slate, I think.
Or they have to.
To make the last 3 episodes really simple.
And that's what D&D do the best. They've just, the last few years since they've gone past George's book, they're just murdering everyone and erasing plot
lines. Anyone who...
Does Dawn exist?
Yeah. It's only going to be like 2 more episodes and then there's just going to be... One episode that wraps it up in a nice little bow.
Anyone who's somewhat extra to the plot, gone.
I wanted to bring this up because I've listened to like so many podcasts in the last week because I love the show and I listen to so many people talk about it. And one of the things that I'm most baffled about, and I have a theory and I want to bring up this theory and see what you think of this theory, both of you guys. But first, the reason why I'm baffled is that there was like not one pod I listened to. And I listened to a lot. I'm not going to name them. But I mean this seriously. Not one pod I listened to were on like Sansa's side. Everyone thought that Sansa was just like, get the stick out of your ass. That's a quote from Pod, so now they know if they're listening. Get the stick out of your ass, Sansa. You know, Danny's here for a reason, la la la, you know, work with her. And I was baffled by everyone's protection of Danny.
Yeah, it's staggering.
I have a theory. I have a theory that I think I'm right, and someone can tell me now. But I think this is why. We're not used to a character like Danny existing in popular cinema or fantasy entertainment like this, because normally this is the female character in the history of fantasy, and I love Dany. I think this is a good thing for the show, but I think people don't know how to react to it. This is the history of fantasy. You've got the maiden, you've got the flat out villain with no shades of grey, or you've got the flat out good girl with no shades of grey. But Dany is this interesting beast where she's not fully evil, but she does evil things, mm-hmm. and she's not fully great, but she does a lot of great things. Mm. She's grey. And I don't think we're used to grey. At the beginning of the series, she was a child, basically, especially in the book, sold into slavery, raped on her wedding night. She went through so much shit. And then we saw her completely grow, kick ass, and become this amazing hero. And she looks like Emilia Clarke too, which helps. So, like, we see this great female, powerful female. So it's just natural to want to follow this great, powerful female. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, especially female audience members who just want to have, you know, because they've had in the history of cinema, when it comes to fantasy, when it comes to female representation, it's not very high.
No.
So I think they so want this heroic female that came from nothing and, you know, saying fuck you to everyone and dominating, that I think they're ignoring the dark things she does because they so want her to be that symbol of awesome women. Mm-hmm. I swear. I mean, there's men who are also like the same, but it seems like mostly the people that are really protecting Danny are the female fans who just can't... I don't think they can comprehend that she's not perfectly good. Because she's... The D&D in the show are not even playing her subtly now. There's no way you're meant to be watching today's episode and go, yeah, she's just a little bit misunderstood. Like, you're not meant to be thinking that. But I swear, I was baffled how no one was on Sansa's side because everyone's like, how dare you say that to Danny? She was built from nothing. And then I was thinking about it and I thought, that's because... We're not used to this sort of female in popular culture when it comes to fantasy, this genre. Do you think am I onto something there? Like, just because people don't know how to react to... She's a complicated character. I think you could actually argue she's the most complicated character, especially if they nail the ending, and maybe more... And thank you, George R. Martin, for the books. She might be the most complicated female character ever in fantasy. Like, fantasy. I can't even think of another one. Look, this is how they treat females in popular fantasy right now. Let's think about Rey in Star Wars. I love Rey because I think Daisy Ridley is amazing, and but I think she brings so much to the role that are not in the script. When you look at Rey as a character, they're sometimes afraid to challenge her. You see in The Last Jedi, she makes mistakes, but they're still afraid to really challenge her. They want her to make her a bit too perfect sometimes, and I think that's they're writing a female and they write females with like oven mitts on. They don't want to
upset.
They don't want to upset. You know, they don't. And it's not because they want to not upset audience members. they're not used to writing female characters with shades of grey in this sort of genre. I don't think they are. Mm-hmm. Now, I think Daisy Ridley's wonderful and I like Rey, but when you think about Luke's journey in Empire Strikes Back, he's cocky in that movie. Not overly cocky, but he's cocky and he gets humbled. And he gets beaten. And the worst thing happens to him when he finds out about his father. Mm-hmm. In Rey, it doesn't feel the same thing happen. Like, it ends with her floating the rocks at the end. It doesn't feel like... They didn't put her through the ringer like they do Luke, and I think it's because she's a female. And I just... And I think what Daenerys is a perfect example of, like, treating every character equally and writing an amazingly depth... She's an amazing character. I can't think of another female character, seriously, in fantasy. I'm not talking about in movie history, because there's plenty of great female characters. I'm talking about in fantasy. You name me one. Lord of the Rings doesn't even have any, virtually, like, three. Like, name me one. Mm. Hermione, no. This is way more complicated. Like, she's such a great character, and I feel like audience members don't know how to compute it sometimes.
She's been such a pivotal character from...
Yeah.
...the first episode.
And where she came from. She came from...
Stormborn. She came from... Targaryen. Like... Oh, her whole family's been murdered.
And she was sold into and she was raped and stuff like that. Like, she came from the bottom. Like,
obviously, her brother and her survived and he's entitled to her. And he's trying to build an empire. And the
he's
way
using
he's
it like
get
a piece of meat.
Yeah, is to dangle your sister out there.
So normally when you see a character like, you know, seriously, like raped and sold to slavery and bondage kind of in a way, at the beginning of your story, if she rises, you're not used to her being... a sociopath as well.
That's right.
I honestly think that's the reaction. I think it's because they can't... We're not used to this sort of character.
Yeah, and now she's built an empire.
We're very mean.
But they always talk about Targaryens being crazy. It's always been there in the background.
And it's not subtle now.
Yeah, but not every Targaryen.
The flip of the coin.
Well, Rhaegar. Rhaegar was apparently great.
We got Jon Snow.
Jon Snow.
He's a Targaryen, but obviously he's the good side of the coin.
So anyway, am I onto...
Well, not you flip a coin, but we have two in the show and one's crazy and one isn't. So supposedly.
Yeah.
One's on the down.
Well, you got to remember too, the Mad King apparently for like 20 years, like when he was actually king, for like 20 years he was fine.
Yeah.
It went later he got mad. Danny's starting early. Danny's been through more shit than him though.
Every scene with her now. She's seen.
Oh, yeah, it's not subtle anymore.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to listen
to some... We'll talk about it when she meets with Sansa at the end of that conversation. You could see it sort of kicking in. When she's with Jon at the end of the show. Or Aegon.
I want to say quickly, when that scene happened... I thought, oh, please don't do bad writing and just make them best friends now. And then
they did the little hand.
And then
they'll
start patting their hair after and stuff like
I knew there was going to be tension in that scene. Yeah. I was like, they're talking, but no.
Sansa's right, again.
Yeah.
I fucking love Sansa this year.
I'm Sansa. I haven't heard some of the podcasts you're referring to. I've heard a couple, but Sansa's your MVP.
How can everyone be team? But how can anyone be team Danny now for the throne?
But go speak to just the general public. There's still a heck of a lot of Daenerys fans.
I love Daenerys though.
No. But
she's a great character, but she's not.
There's still a heck of a lot of Daenerys fans who can't see the craziness kicking in. Who still see her as the ultimate hero of the show.
The amount of I've been dominant. This has been all I'm thinking about the last week. Except a little bit of Star Wars.
Productive week.
And everything I've read so many people in discussion forums online talking about how what she did to the Tarleys was just, and they're explaining it. Why? I'm just baffled that we live in a world where she can burn a whole family alive and everyone say, this is why she did it.
Right.
Like, are you kidding me? This is it. When she burned, I understand burning the father. Cool. I do. I understand burning the father if he doesn't want to bend the knee, but you take the son away and you lock him up. And you try to keep the house on your side. What she did, but everyone's on this. All these people are on her side. But what she did was basically what Joffrey did at the end of season one. They told him, "Don't kill Ned Stark," but he's a fucking psycho, and he did it, and everyone hated him. And then when Ramsay, when he got the North, he started going around, and when people weren't happy, he was like killing whole families. And Roose Bolton had to say, "Don't do that. That's not how you rule." But then Dany does it. Oh, of course you had to.
But
what
else
did
you have? So you talking about the internet made me think of it. When last season, when John. Pardoned, well, not so much pardoned, but accepted back the Alice Karstark and Ned Umber. If you were to believe internet comments, most of the comments on the internet were people saying he shouldn't have pardoned them. They're going to one day, he's going to suffer for it, blah, blah, blah. So that's what people on the internet are like. But also remember in that scene, it was also Sansa who said, no, keep their castles, but, you know, they are treasonous.
Oh, yeah. And but she's not burning them alive.
She's not burning them alive, but he did say, look, the punishment for treason is death, and their parents died on the battlefield. But Sansa was happy to punish them too. So I don't know if that's solely Danny, but I do agree.
I
know what you're saying. But
anyway, am I onto some? Do you think it is because of like people not used to this sort of female character? Do you think it is?
No, I just think people watch it on a simplistic level.
And they just want Danny to kick ass.
I think that's what it is.
People are stupid, Nick.
Because I love Danny.
Discussing a podcast.
I think it is that, you know, she rides dragons and she comes out of the fire. You know, she's...
She builds an army.
She builds an army.
From nothing, and, in a way. Yeah, right? Because it's just great. The first
thing she gathers followers.
I think that's what it is. You know?
Just
whereas people don't necessarily warm to Sansa because of the way... Because they see the Sansa from the first couple of seasons, what she was like. They don't see the growth in her. Right? And they, perhaps they don't appreciate... Well, they can. They see what she's been through. Right? But they don't really appreciate the journey of the character. You know?
Because I guess people aren't like us watching the show 100 times.
Team Arya and Team Daenerys. And, whereas Sansa's never been never that character in the old days.
When I say this stuff, it's never critical on Dany as a character. I freaking love Dany as a character. I love Emilia Clarke and I can't wait to see what happens. But she's certainly not fit for the throne when you look at just the world. No way would you want her on the throne. And no way is it a happy ending if she's on the throne. Not, she's too nuts.
Well, she ends on
you the see throne. It.
Yeah, well,
but the show's not going to end with anyone on the throne because it shouldn't be called Game of Thrones. It should be called A Song of Ice and Fire. I understand why they changed
it.
But
we've got four episodes to go. Let's see what happens. But yeah.
But the throne's not going to be... King's Landing is going to get blown up by wildfire.
Or the Night King's going to hang down.
King's
there.
Landing will not be there by the end of the show. Not the way it is
now. That's a worry. We don't want a million people dying, do we?
I think there's going to be lots of death in this end of this show. Yeah. Fuck, I love this show. I was so excited this morning. But I was like, oh, boy. Shaking in my boots. Okay, that's with Dany. I mean, do you want to continue with Dany and at the end with John, or do you want to go to that later?
Let's talk about Dany.
So, what do you think about the Dany John scene at the end? John was obviously ignoring her all week.
Yeah, it was sort of awkward, wasn't it? It had that sort of awkward. She's sort of chasing after him. She's coming down to the crypts. And she's
if she knows that she's my aunt. I'm just going to sleep over here tonight.
I don't think he cares about the aunt thing. I mean, people. That's the modern world. That's the modern world talking about.
But what was interesting is he never actually said, "Look, I don't want the throne." He could have easily said that. He said, "Look, I am the rightful." He didn't say I'm the rightful heir, but she worked out that he was the rightful heir to the throne. He never said, "Well, I'm not interested in the throne. I just want to," you know. And that would have probably assuaged her.
He's got all support.
Yeah,
everyone would support him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what she knows, and that's why she's.
I think she goes straight
to the point of denial. Oh, it's your brother and your best friend who's confirmed. Yes.
Well, you can understand her bringing that up.
You can understand.
Yeah. And then I think she realises that she knows that it's true as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she knows that he was able to ride a dragon.
That first stage of denial.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah.
Well, it would be pretty shocking for her. I mean, when you think she's been waiting her whole life for this and now she's seen there's a better claim to the throne. Her whole reason for being has been that throne. She says it, you know,
that's what we're following.
That's all
I
wanted. That getting the throne is what's given her the motivation to suffer the rape and the journey across the wasteland and everything. Image of being able to go to Westeros and take the throne back, that's what's really carried her. And now she's known it was all for nothing, really, because it's not her throne.
And she knows that if it ever came to her and John, John's probably going to get better support.
She does have two dragons. He could hop on one.
John, you know, John's linked to one of them, at least. Yeah. His dad's one named after his dad. We could get another Targaryen Civil War happening.
Another Dance of Dragons.
Jeez, I'd love that to be a movie.
Yeah. I love the Dance of Dragons stuff.
I love the Dance of Dragons story. It's so good. Well, who knows? It'd be more interesting if to end with characters that we know than the Night King.
Yeah.
Because the Night King is just like an external threat. We definitely care more about Dany and John's conflict than the Night King. But it's how it all ties together. We'll see. I must admit, I was kind of disappointed in that scene just because... The last scene of the episode, just because... No, I didn't hate it or anything, but I was just disappointed because it did that thing that Game of Thrones has been doing a lot in the last few years, is where the scene will get juicy and instead of, like, continuing to write the juicy scene, they end up because something else happens.
Yeah.
Well, that's like when Bran and Tyrion are sitting there in the room and he pulls up a chair and it's like, well, it's winter. Where else have I got to be? And who wants to hear the story? And just cuts away. I don't want to hear the story.
You know, it's really, they've done this a lot lately. Last week, she's about to threaten Sansa. Like, if she doesn't bend the knee, I'm going to have to fucking kill her. But we don't hear that part.
It's like, oh, you know, she might not like me, but she has to respect me. And then it's like, cut straight to something else.
They've done that. They do it a lot in the last few years, and I don't like it. It annoys me because I've been waiting a long time for Dany to find out. That's been the key. I wanted John to find out, and that was exciting. That was a great scene. But I wanted to see Dany, and I wanted to stew in that knowledge, and I wanted to see conflict, but then
you wanted her to find out like before
and then have some drama, but now we're left with two things. First, that scene was just too short. I wanted more. It was a lazy way for the writers to get out of it,
and they're not going to and there's going to be no resolution.
It's a lazy way because next week's the battle. And that's the other problem. The other problem is that next week we've got an 80-minute battle, which I'm a lot of people are excited and that's great, and I want to see fighting. You can't have no action at the end, but the prospect of an 80-minute fight does not excite me in a 6-episode season. Because that just feels like
55 minutes.
Well, it's 82 full minutes. Thanks.
Yeah, but the battle itself is 55.
Well, they say it's the longest continuous battle ever.
Yeah, 55.
And they're saying they're putting their gold star on their jacket, like that's good. But there's a reason why battles aren't that long normally, because it's boring.
Yeah. Like, you can watch watch Battle of the Bastards.
That's like 20 minutes.
And yeah, that's enough.
That's enough.
Yeah,
that is enough. I mean, it's as great as that episode is, that 20 minutes enough when John's down on foot and there's horses coming past and, you know.
I think it's less than 20 minutes.
I don't need to see 55 minutes of that.
Yeah, and that's all and that's the thing. You don't need, all you have to, if next week's episode had like half an hour of more build up where they were talking and then 40 minutes of fight, yeah, okay. But we're not going to have any of that resolution.
Maybe even incorporated into that 55 minutes will be character stuff. Will be Brienne dying.
It's 84 minutes next week.
Dying, possibly Davos dying.
Well, that's going to make it more emotional because there's going to be a lot of final things.
Right, so.
I'm sure it's going to be entertaining. It's just that there's so much drama to play with that I'm still kind of shocked that it's 6 episodes.
Mm.
There's so much drama to play with.
Eventually you have to put an end to it, though, don't you? Yeah, otherwise you can keep...
But I'm just saying, couldn't it be 10 episodes and she find this out and we could have 2 more episodes just at Winterfell where people talk? I wouldn't mind that because I like these characters. And
I'm not sure how true it is. I did read something or I might have heard it where they talked, it's to do with payment.
Oh, because the actors all cost so much money.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's why it's
or some of the actors cost a lot, some cost less. But when this show costs like, they say like $50 million an episode now, but they're paying people apparently like Kit Harington and Emilia Clarke, like $500,000 an episode, I think I saw. And that's a lot of actors in this show that are getting that. Not all of them, some are less. Like people like, Maisie Williams is less and
Sansa is less because it's a big thing about the show.
But like the big boys, Tyrion. Like, Tyrion and all that are big.
Yeah. Oh, your top pay grade would probably be Tyrion.
Danny, Tyrion, John. Maybe Cersei.
I
can't remember. I actually saw it last.
And then
I can't remember
down, Sansa.
Maisie.
That's probably why the last 4 episodes are like really long so they don't have another episode to pay him.
Yeah.
And then he's not in this episode. Yeah. Oh, well.
That's one of the reasons why it's only 6 that's to do with payment, active payment.
But they can afford it. So I think they can afford
it, but there is a limit.
It just feels like there's drama that they're not going to mind
of
it.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't mind to see. They could have made this episode 10 minutes longer, but they didn't. How expensive is it really on the scale of this show to just have people talking in a room? It can't be. I think a lot of the money goes to what we were going to see next week and what we're going to see in episode 5, like the big battles and King's Landing blowing up and Jon Snow sitting on that ice throne as a Night King. You know, those sort of things cost money. So anyway, that's it with the Danny stuff.
Yeah,
so,
that's Danny.
Sorry, we've run out of money. We're just going to have to paint your face.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I wrote my notes in order. So the next thing I wrote, because it's probably my second favourite thing of the episode. So I haven't talked about my favourite thing of the episode yet.
Ooh, okay.
Soon.
Okay.
My second favourite thing of the episode is Theon coming to Winterfell and Sansa's completely warm. Her crying, her hugging, that nice little shot of them sitting outside talking and eating. Like, my heart warmed up so much to Theon. I've always been Team Theon. I mean, I know he's done a lot of horrible things, but I think Alfie Allen is one of the best actors that never gets credit that he deserves. He's a great actor in this show. Like, he is really great. And just to see Sansa embrace him, like a Stark embrace Theon after everything he's been through was just so warm.
Stark moment of the episode. The
it was so warm.
After what he did to the family.
With the moment of the episode, I would agree, actually. Yeah. Oh, no, second moment. Because
the other one, I'm guessing,
yeah, that comes in.
But no, I love the...
so great.
Seeing the redemption...
What a great arc.
After last week. What was a great really arc. Good with his sister when they're on the ship.
Yeah.
Talked about it. And he says, no, I want to go back to Winterfell. And then when he showed up today... And,
Sansa's reaction to him, though. That's the warm part. You kind of didn't know at first how they're going to react, but nah, son, it was just so beautiful.
Yeah,
it's warm.
And I started thinking to myself, oh my God, I want Sansa and Theon to get married.
Do you think Daenerys would do that? Oh, Theon's gone and killed like half my family.
Oh, well,
then you come back and
Daenerys
Daenerys forgive Jorah. Yeah. Jorah tried to betrayed her.
Daenerys isn't some she's a psycho, but she's not a complete psycho.
So Jorah was there, had organized for her.
When Jorah came back in season 6 to rescue her from the Dothraki and she burned everyone and then she saw him. She had a really emotional reaction to Jorah when she found out that he was sick.
Yeah.
And that was warm.
And when she's crying and she says, I command you to go find a cure.
Jorah's his heart. Jorah's her heart, I mean.
Yeah. That could be the thing that tips
if
her.
That's what I'm saying. If Jorah, the writing, if you're a writer and you want to pay drama, the writer in me says, you kill Jorah next week, which is horrible, but you kill Jorah next week and Danny's unbound. If it wasn't for him... She wouldn't have tried to make up with Sansa and she wouldn't have, like, been nice to Tyrion a little bit. Like, she was completely off the rails until Jorah talked to her. So she has it in her, Danny. That's why I'm saying Danny's an interesting character because she's not She's not a complete villain.
Yeah.
She's not Cersei, but even Cersei's interesting in the show. Now she's off the rails now. But even Cersei has depth. That's what's great about the show. Apart from the Night King, but we don't even know, to be honest. Wait to see what happens. But in general, there's no true villains.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Joffrey's there's a few. Ramsay, Joffrey, but in general...
There's temporary ones.
But in general...
The ones who last, the
characters are like interesting. Look at Jamie. Look at Jamie, goddamn Lannister. The show starts off with him pushing a guy, a little 10-year-old kid, outside of a window because he catches him having sex with his sister. Mm. That sounds great to say it. And now he's like the most likable character in the show.
Brienne stands up for him.
Yeah. And he is likable. If anyone else is the prince that was promised, that's not Jon, I actually kind of like the idea of Jamie ends up being the prince that was promised, because what an ultimate subverting storyline for George R. Martin to write, to have a guy that's having sex with his sister, the Kingslayer, who pushes a 10-year-old boy out of a window, and have him be the ultimate hero by the end. Mm. We talk about Theon's arc being a great, but I would argue that maybe Jaime's is the best of the show. I always flash back to one of my favourite scenes of the whole show, is him telling Brienne in the bar about the Kingslaying thing, which is just...
Yeah. Just call me Jaime.
And it makes you think about Ned. See, Ned's not perfect. I mean, we've already seen Ned not being perfect with the way he told the story about killing that guy,
yes,
the Tower of Joy.
Arthur Dayne.
But Ned's a great character. He's obviously a very noble person. But even... It makes you think about Ned. The way Ned reacts to Jaime is really cold, considering what Jaime did.
Yeah, but Ned didn't know the background either.
Well, that's true. Ned, but he didn't even want to know the background.
No, he didn't want to.
That's the thing.
And then Jaime says, you know, that Ned sat on the throne.
The show is amazing.
Yeah.
Apart from, see, Jon is so ultimately good, and then you got a few ultimate evil, everyone else is just great. And I love it. What a great show. We're going to miss this show in 4 episodes time. The new show, I'm really looking forward to the next show, next year, or whenever it comes out, but there is no way it will be as good as this show at the best. It won't be. I think this might be the best show of all time, for me, if it ends well.
Let's see.
Season 7 was rocky, but see, I'm loving this beginning.
There's a lot of great shows out there, Nick.
Yeah, no, but I love this.
Let's get through the next 4 episodes.
Will it have the Sopranos ending, or will it have the Breaking Bad ending? As in Sopranos or great the, ending, Breaking Bad ending as... I didn't like the Breaking Bad the ending that much. That would be great.
When it happens.
The Twin Peaks ending would be great. They just end up and they open up, like, they go to some house and they open up the door and it's like Sansa, but she's not actually Sansa. It's someone else. Is Sansa live here? No, who are you? I'm Jenny. And then Sansa just screams. I don't know. That's a Twin Peaks reference for the finale.
Jon Snow's dancing with a horse.
I actually think if Twin Peaks ends forever, like if Twin Peaks never comes back again, that will be my equal favorite, my second favorite ending of a TV show ever. My favorite ending of a TV show ever is Sopranos, but that is so close. Sopranos has so freaking gutsy, and I don't think this show has the guts to be the Sopranos. Like,
it's different though. They're getting the ending from someone else.
Yes, true.
You know,
so that might make him.
That's not a literary ending, is it?
No.
So it's not the way.
It's you're so
not
ballsy.
Gonna, yeah, oh, you're not going to end. You're not going to end a book like that, and so they're getting the ending from.
Wouldn't that be great? To end the book like that? Oh shit! They didn't print it properly.
It's a page.
You're just not ending a book like that, and they're
getting. They are getting it from a book. So
I heard before the show started. I heard D&D say that they looked at Breaking Bad to how to make a proper ending. I went, oh no. But that Breaking Bad second to last episode is freaking amazing. Mm-hmm. The finale is okay.
Mm.
Because it wants to give the main character who doesn't deserve it a happy ending.
Yeah.
Walter doesn't deserve a happy ending.
Well, I don't think we're having a happy ending in this one. So we're being told. It'll be bittersweet.
Sopranos is the king of them all, but most shows don't have the guts for the Sopranos, except David Lynch. But he's never given a fuck. That's the great thing about David Lynch. But anyway, back to
Theon.
Theon, great. Theon. I love his long hair too.
It's good.
Are we going to see Mira Reed shop and her dad at one stage this season? Let's have a vote.
Do they?
Because
are they going to settle down in the castle and try to defend themselves, or they should have come to Winterfell?
Yeah, they probably would have came already. It's going to be too late at the end of next week, isn't it?
Unless they decide to bunker down at their own, which is their castle.
They're in the swamps, but I can't remember the name of it.
Is it the Whispering? No.
But they're in the swamps.
Yeah.
It's just because he actually knows what happened at the Tower of Joy.
Yes.
So they might need that in this show.
Well, they don't really.
But everyone,
because
Bran.
All Bran has to do is just prove to Dany that he like, if he tells Dany some stories from when she grew up that he couldn't possibly know, it'll just sort of prove that he has this all-seeing, all-knowing vision. And she'll say, all right, fair enough.
He chose to ride the Khal Drogo.
Yeah, you know what I mean? If he just says, oh, you know, I saw Khal Drogo die this way, I saw this happen, I saw that happen, blah, 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 then she's like, well, yeah.
Here's another voting thing.
She knows,
Dany dies, which I think is a very good chance, if Dany dies, either heroic or villainous.
Yeah, Cranogman, yeah.
If Dany dies, which I think is 100% going to happen, probably. Most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a scene where Dany goes to the afterlife and sits down with Khal Drogo and her son that died?
Maybe.
I think that's a good possibility. I like think? That. I like that.
Do you think we have afterlife in this show?
Well, probably not. Is that
a level of spirituality? I don't think so.
Well, how deep are they going to go in this show? Because like, the show only
does have I could see her dreaming anyway.
That, but I can't
see. Maybe not.
I can't see the show focusing on the afterlife.
But they do talk about the Nike coming in and eliminating. Like,
yeah, we're talking about like the idea of heaven and stuff.
Oh, I just thought, have, like, oh, you see her going inside the tent from that season two, and then she sits down with Carl.
Yeah, maybe.
And they're their son. I don't know. It's really pretty, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they won't do that because, yeah, the show, I mean, the gods, apart from the Lord of Light, the gods don't really work in this show at all, any of them. So, and we don't even know what the Lord of Light is. It most likely, if it gets answered or we don't know. But
we still haven't had, most likely, still haven't had a Melisandre appearance.
It's probably most likely not a god anyway.
We haven't seen a Melisandre appearance.
Yeah, she hasn't shown
I was yet. Wondering if someone's going to die on the battlefield as a big shock next week and then she actually comes and does the spell in episode 4. So like someone dies and then she brings him back with the Lord of Light again. Mm. I was thinking that maybe that's why they're saving her. But she is coming. She's coming. And apparently those priests actually have their own little army. So she could actually come with an army.
Oh, do they?
Well, apparently I read somewhere that they have an army sometimes. So maybe she comes with an army of some sort of priests.
She hasn't shown up yet. We've had every other major character. With plenty of Brienne today, everyone has appeared this season, except for her.
And Pod.
Oh, Pod appeared.
Well, Brienne was in last week, because I watched it again and I noticed her in the background
when they come into Winterfell. She has no speaking role.
Did she get paid for her episode?
Yeah, probably.
Well, that's a good payday. To stand all day. Well, probably, that probably takes like 2 days to do a scene like that too.
Yeah.
In the outdoors with all those extras. And then you get paid 20,000 and go home.
More than that.
It's like being Captain Phasma. You do nothing.
Just put on a mask and say a few lines.
I hope Captain Phasma comes back and then dies in an epic way in episode 1.
I think we're drifting.
My favourite scene of the whole episode was all the guys and Gal catching up at the fireplace.
Yeah,
I just loved everything that happened in that fireplace nearly. The awkward pissing contest with Tormund trying to take on Jaime. Even
I just
found
the way Tormund was streaking.
It was funny.
It was funny, but it sort of got it awkward.
It was awkward.
Of, like I said, it got a bit cringy. They're just sitting there drinking and they're just sitting there looking at each other.
I loved it.
He's got no self-awareness.
I really enjoyed how the last 40 minutes of this episode just had our characters hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like no fast travel. There's no crazy. Like,
like I said earlier,
it was just so slow and nice.
You get
thought,
the
this
feeling
nice.
It's the last chance for them to hang out.
Before
and
the
it's
end,
the last
yeah.
chance for us to hang out with them.
That's it. But the rest is gone. Yeah. It's going to explode. And it's not going to slow down after.
Yeah.
It might slow down a little bit, but it's not going to be like this again. This is it. In the commentary for the Two Towers, Peter Jackson talks about how his favorite thing about doing the Two Towers is that build up to the final battle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this episode was. This episode was basically the build up to Helm's Deep. It really was. It's really cool because, you know, there's an inevitable evil coming. And it's just, it's nice to see these characters interact that one time. And I like seeing the Hound and Arya show up together again. I'll talk about that later.
I was talking to my sister.
Because last week wasn't enough.
That's what she wanted them to do last week.
Yeah, I
know.
She
complained about
their
reunion last week. And we did, I think, too. You did. But that's what we wanted last week, didn't we? But it was better tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, thank God it happened. Because it was a good scene.
Especially the bit where he says, you know, I fought for you.
Yeah, and she didn't have a smart-ass reply.
Yeah, because she has become a bit like that, hasn't she?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and, he did really... I mean, yes, he was going to get paid out of it, but he did fight for
her. He cared for her.
He did care for
her. By the end. And he saved his sister, too. He saved Sansa for no reason.
He saved Sansa from getting raped.
Multiple times.
And
she doesn't know that.
Yeah, Arya doesn't know that. Sansa
saves her. He saves her from the guys when...
During the bread riots, whatever. Yeah. In season two.
In season two, yeah.
Yeah, because then he offers to take her with him at Blackwater, and she just says no. And I wish she did.
How different would the show be?
Could have had both sisters catching up.
Yeah.
Anyway, but back to the fireplace scene. I just really liked it. I loved, and seriously, this is the part that got me genuinely emotional, was just watching Jaime knight Brienne. Brienne is a fantastic character.
Mm-hmm.
She is.
And Jaime's a fantastic character. And just her I couldn't believe how genuinely emotional I got from it. Like, I got emotional. The Stark reunions the last few years, I mean, I enjoy them, but then nothing made me cry. None of them made me cry personally. I know you got emotional with Arya and all that, but none of them did. The show hasn't got me that emotional that often, like only a few times. Like when Hodor dies, that makes me cry. Mm-hmm. That kills me. And when Daenerys comes out of the fire in the end of season one, I think that actually gets me tears of excitement.
I like that.
Like, that's really great.
The obvious one when they show the cut from Baby John to...
Oh, that's really great. It's chilling the first time you watch it.
With the music.
And when she... Jacaris, and she gets the Unsullied Army in season three, those moments got me like teary-eyed. But this actually genuinely got me emotional. It was so beautiful.
When he knights her.
Yeah, it was one of those rare moments. I'll remember it forever. It was one of those moments that really hit me. It was just beautiful. It was great. Brienne deserves everything. And Jamie deserves a relationship with someone that's not his sister that's a psycho.
Well, Tyrion says it when they're going upstairs. He said, you always knew what she was, but you still loved her anyway.
Mm. Well, you can't choose who you love.
Yeah.
He's always been tragic. If he didn't have Cersei as his sister, he probably would have never done any of the horrible... He probably wouldn't have done a lot of the horrible things he did.
Mm.
The things we do for love. Isn't it beautiful that, like, that's the line he says in the beginning of the first episode, but that's basically his character. The things we do for love. He did some horrible things for her.
Bran says it too. Bran says
that was a great moment. I went, oh! That was good. The things we do for love. That's how you got to play it, like Bran.
But yeah, and the knighting was a bit of a tip. So George R. Martin, you've heard of the Dunk and Egg books?
Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah,
the Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
So George R. Martin said Sir Dunk. So Duncan is one of her ancestors.
Yeah, the Duncan the Tall.
Duncan the Tall is one of Brienne's ancestors. And that's how he was knighted. Because generally, I think you're knighted by a septon.
He was knighted by another knight.
But he was knighted by another knight.
Mm.
And he was a lot like her. He would go around the countryside being, I think they called, I read it, Hedge Knight. You know?
Yeah, that's what it's called, Hedge Knight.
Hedge Knight. And that's what she is. Right. And he was knighted the same way as her. And yeah, it's a bit of a tip to
it was great. That as well. Oh, and the name of the episode was a tip to it. The name of the episode is called A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, and that's the name of the book that puts the three novellas together.
Oh, is it? Well, there you go.
Yeah, I've got it right behind me. It was released a few years ago, and it's got the first three Duncan Egg stories.
She's the main one of this episode, really.
Oh, yeah. That's why I thought it was my favourite part of the episode. It was the big emotional punch.
That, and also when Jamie says he wants to fight under her.
Fuck, I love Jamie.
Yeah.
And I love the show. So, yeah. I love so many of these characters. I'm going to miss them. It's going to be really hard to not hang out with them.
Going to miss
Davos. Oh,
dishing Davos. Up food.
Dishing up food. That made me emotional.
You probably saw a lot of Shireen in that
tears,
girl.
Yeah. Oh, that's exactly what I thought straight away. She had the scars
and yeah, that was...
She wanted
and
to
that actually
food.
Made me cry. That made me emotional.
That, the most then, thing
that was the
that
one was, that really got me too. When she walked up and it's like, oh, and like, it's even had similar music to like when they were in the... In the chambers.
Okay.
In, like, back in season 3.
Yep.
Yeah. When he's teaching her how to read
and everything.
I loved
his relationship with
Shireen. And then
I loved
just looking at her face. It actually draws you to her face straight away when she's going up to get food deliberately. Yep. By the music to make you feel like it's Shireen.
And she says her two older brothers were soldiers. Yeah. And
that she wanted to fight. Said it's safe in the crypt.
That was really good.
Protect the crypt.
That was a good scene. I love that. Sir Davos is amazing.
Davos is just
fun. And it'll be sad when he goes.
If he goes. Well, if he goes too... Then John might be fucked because he needs someone who can actually be a good hand to the king.
He does say
he could
that,
be a good hand to the king.
He does.
Oh, you know Tyrion, I guess.
Nah, Tyrion. No, I don't think so.
But Tyrion's not a dumb person. He's just made a lot of mistakes.
He's made a lot of mistakes, but I don't think he's John's hand.
Watch season 2.
Watch season two again.
He is amazing.
But John
season
would have
two,
Samwell
Tyrion.
As a hand anyway.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You've already solved it. You solved it. But then again, I think Tyrion would be better than Sam because Tyrion knows how to play the game. He really does. He's stuffing up lately.
But we don't know. Once this is finished, there probably is no game.
Well, I think...
That's the point, you know? But...
well, especially when John's the Night
King.
But
yeah, Davos, it'll be sad if and when he goes. And I'm sure his wife will miss him.
That we never see on the show, but...
who got one mention and there's
God, he's good.
He's been away from home for
Liam Cunningham, the season's 6 finale. And she was a good girl and you killed her. Whatever he said. He's so good in that scene.
Yeah.
God, he's good.
I take leave to execute.
Oh, he's so good. That's his highlight of his whole performance of the show was that the season 6 finale.
Yeah.
God, he's good.
No, the highlight is what he says to John about when you're looking at it. You're looking at
it.
No, when she says, he says, oh, she's got a great mind or something. He's like, oh, yeah, you're really looking
at it. He's talking about things to look at and he sees Missandei, whatever he says.
Yeah. He's quite pervy, isn't he, in season 7.
Well, that actually ties into another scene that happened then, because I wanted to bring that scene up. What happens next? Not him perving it on Sunday, but there's a very great line.
This is Jon Snow, the King of the North.
There's a very great conversation between Missandei and Jon in that episode, where he talks about how she's free to go whenever she wants. You know, if I asked Daenerys tomorrow to give me a boat, she would let me.
Yeah.
And Jon says, "Do you really believe that?"
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. And it ties into this episode a bit, just because...
Where she says they want to go to...
Because they talk about their future plans with Grey Worm.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, probably Grey Worm's probably going to die anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But...
I think both of them die.
But when I was watching that scene, I was thinking, oh, you sweet summer children. Daenerys isn't letting you go.
When you start, when you start talking about those sorts of plans, you know you're going to die.
An episode before the battle.
Yeah. It's a bit like when Rob and Talisa are talking about the little baby. Oh, I'm going to name him Ned.
Oh, I tell you,
bang, gone.
Oh, I wasn't expecting her stomach to get stabbed that many times when I was watching.
But still, once you start talking about that sort of stuff, once you start looking into the future, you're done.
If you talk about the future in Game of Thrones, you have no future.
If you're one of the people who says, oh, I don't think we've got a future, then you're going to be safe.
If you're like the Hound. Just wanting to die.
So I thought that was an interesting go.
Yeah. Nice to see a bit of Narf. See the
best. And he's also saying that he's going to bring some of the army with him too. There's
no way.
He said,
Danny, we could fight.
Danny's not going to let that happen. Because they're true. Danny like releases him as slave, but what happens if they don't want to serve her?
I think she would.
Let him go?
I think if she won the throne.
You probably would, actually.
If she won the throne.
Or maybe I
don't think she keeps them. They don't belong. They don't fit in there. They get
I like how they've dealt with the fact that they, you know, look different than everyone else in the North without being like over the top punching in the face. Like it was just a nice little scene with the two little girls.
Yeah.
You just want to walk away, it's just a good way to handle it because there's a lot of bad ways to handle it where you go too far. You bring too much of the modern world in.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. It's interesting because it's true, too. The North have never seen anyone exotic as them. Miss Sunday's good looking, though.
She is. But they don't like that type of look.
What?
They
sexy?
Don't go for it.
No.
Well, next in my notes, I've got during their meeting where they make the plan for the next battle, we kind of find out that the Night King's after Bran, which is kind of like, you know, it's an extension of the Dawn episode.
Do you think that's all of it?
What?
Do you think that's all of it?
Maybe not all of it.
I think there's got to be more to it than that.
It would be semi-disappointing if it's just that, wouldn't it?
Because, the first episode, obviously, the show starts with the
episode one,
with the
knights,
with the fella from the Night's Watch deserting.
Yeah.
Because of, you know,
his friends got killed beyond the wall.
Friends got killed beyond the wall.
Or friends.
By
Rangers got killed.
Whites.
Yeah.
Right? Which means they started, and they're supposedly asleep for thousands of years, and something has made them stir again. They started stirring before Bran became the Three-Eyed Raven.
Yeah. I still think
so. There has to be more to it.
I think it's mostly tied to Danny still. Because Danny is starting to be born.
I appreciate what Bran's saying, and they're after him. It fits into what you said last week, that maybe they just are death. You know, they're that purification, that cleansing. That's what they just want to clear the world of humanity.
The closer we get, I think that is the answer.
But, they were stirring before Bran was the Three-Eyed Raven.
Well, they're always alive, weren't they? They're always around. They just didn't kill everyone every 2 seconds.
And other Three-Eyed Ravens had existed as well.
But they couldn't get into that tree. Bran stuffed it up by getting touched in that vision.
Yeah, so...
Bran went beyond the wall. Is that why they could go beyond the wall? Probably. There's probably a good chance. But then the reason why Bran went beyond the wall is probably because he knows that he has to for whatever reason. This is like Infinity War where you see Doctor Strange have all those... You know, he sees all the different scenarios.
He looks at all the... Yeah.
And then he gives the Time Stone to Thanos.
Knowing that's the only way.
And Tony's like, well, why are you giving it to him? Because earlier he even says, I'm not going to save you.
Yeah.
You know, it does. This is more important than you. But the reason why he does it is clearly this is the only way they can win. So maybe this is the same thing where Bran went beyond the wall, the only reason the Night King went beyond the wall was because Bran was beyond the wall. But maybe this is the only way.
The only way to defeat him is by having him cross the wall. But like I said, I'd like to think there was a bit more to it than just wanting to get Bran, because they existed before Bran.
Well, a lot of
people been other Three-Eyed Raven.
I never noticed this before. Well, I kind of must have. But when he gets turned in the flashbacks, the Night King. Apparently, you see that symbol in the around there. Like it's this. You see the symbol, that circle of thing.
The swirl, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And some
you read the article that everyone's read,
or I heard a podcast. I listened to 100 podcasts
about the swirl. So the one they had with Ned Umber, and the one you see like in the
first episode and the horses
and
other
horses
stuff.
And whatever. Yeah. So that's a religious symbol to the children of the forest.
And they're mocking the children.
And they're mocking the children the same way, you know, a Satanist might have an upside down cross.
I don't mind that. I actually don't
know.
Yeah,
but then
that,
if that's
though.
The case, no, if I want to mock children. No, it's fine. I like it. It's great. But then it has to involve a bit more than it just being after Bran. Is it the God's Eye and the last?
Yeah,
is it the last stand of the children?
Maybe
they
want Bran
there, Maybe
they want Bran for a special reason that we might find out when they get Bran.
I hope there's a little bit more to it. When you've had them in the show for 7 seasons, you want a little bit more than, they're just after Bran.
What else there are my notes? Bran Lightning was generally moving. Grey Worm, we were talking about. Okay, Arya and Gendry.
Mm.
So our two families got it on last night.
They did.
Not mine.
Frank.
Rather
well, your family doesn't exist. You should get a new name.
Yeah,
new name.
Find a new family.
Find a new family that exists. Be a Lannister. They might be dead soon, though.
Don't be a Lannister. You're picking duds at the moment, Tay. So.
Well, Lannister's probably the most interesting.
Can you pick Targaryens? I mean,
no,
the
Lannisters
be a Mormont.
Well, they're probably dead soon, too. No, they won't kill Little Mormont.
What about a Seaworth?
They won't do
Seaworth.
It.
Seaworth. Davos. Hey, an onion knight.
He might be dead soon too. So you're in trouble. I think they all might be dead. Maybe you should just be the Night King.
Tide of Tar.
hey.
Maybe I'm a secret Targaryen like Kagi.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you're
maybe you're Blackfyre and you're ready to take over.
Anyway.
I and Gendry got it on.
Yeah.
I
didn't really like it. Because I think in season two they had more of a brother-sister relationship.
Well, only because she was like really little.
I know. I still just didn't like it.
But now she's like 18.
I just thought it was a bit... I don't know.
I've heard other people say that. I was fine with it because I thought it was nice to see her have a moment that was not cutting people up and putting him in pies.
Yeah, true.
I just didn't mind it. I honestly didn't mind it. I don't think it goes any deeper.
Yeah,
I think it's more like she likes him and she wanted to have some action before she might die tomorrow.
And they did focus on her scars. I wonder if there's some meaning to that or just a case of focusing.
It could be just more like this is when he realizes she's been through a lot.
Yeah, maybe.
Because no one knows what she's been through.
None of them know.
No one knows.
Only Bran.
And John, why isn't John telling people that he died?
I was actually going to mention that to you before. When Tate mentioned about, this is Jon Snow, King of the North. And then when
he took a knife for his people.
He took a knife for his people. And that has never come up again.
But she saw the knife wounds on him.
But it's never come up again as to why he never said.
Well, that's because Jon is very humble, but it might come up again if they're battling Dany soon.
Yeah.
As in, not a fight, but if they're like, everyone's debating Dany.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone's going to bring up that he got stabbed and came back as Jesus.
He's already died once.
But she came out of the fire too, so.
Well, she's special. That's why
both are.
That's why I don't think she's fit to rule, but I don't think. That's why I don't know about her just snapping completely works as well, because then why? Unless. I don't know.
I think she's a special figure.
She's special.
So she might have some messianic sort of properties, but I don't think she should be the final ruler.
Do you think it's more a chance that she just ends up being Nissa Nissa and John stabs
her?
I
was going to say, she's more likely to be a religious figure than a ruler.
Yeah. Like, she'll be a symbol of like...
She could be something greater than just a simple king or queen, but I don't think she is.
I've been thinking it for years, and it's either he kills her because they're fighting, or most likely she sacrifices herself because maybe she gets humbled, maybe. And there's going to be a moment where John stabs her with a sword and pulls out a flame. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
But when do you think
it's such a cool image. I love the cool image.
When do you think the Night King dies? If the Night King dies.
Well, maybe episode 5.
Next episode.
Maybe episode 5. Well, what if they do something really crazy where the Night King gets... What if they do something really crazy where the Night King gets defeated next week and we end where it matters more with Cersei? Because Cersei's more interesting than the Night King. She is. But is it anticlimactic that we build up for 8 years with the Night King and he dies in one battle?
For 8 years from the very first moment, really, too. Because the original thing was about the White.
Well, let's face it, too. When I first heard about Winter's Coming, Winter's Coming, Winter's Coming, I imagined Winter to come, like season 5, and it to be like Winter for like the end of the world happened.
Yeah, like
and the
two
zombies
or three
are rolling. And it'll be like Walking Dead in Westeros. It'll be 3-4 seasons of them in the snow.
Not 3 episodes
zombies.
Of it.
Yeah. I always imagined it more to be like Winter actually came. And then there's like people who have to band together to save the world.
Yeah. Rather than Winter coming for 3 episodes
and then a big battle. And that might be more, I bet you when you read, if the books ever come out, I bet you that's probably more of what's going to happen. There might be big battles like this. But we're probably getting the dot points of what's going to happen in George's mind.
And D&D have realised that maybe Cersei is the more captivating.
Well, she's definitely more captivating.
For TV.
She's definitely
TV,
more captivating, isn't she?
For TV.
But it is true. Like, if they defeat him next week, that would feel
weird.
I
don't think they can.
It has to all tie together. Just all explode together.
I think you have to see perhaps Cersei realise the errors of not sending an army up north and then having the battle brought to her doorstep.
Maybe Dany gets really pissed off, takes her dragon, goes to King's Landing, says, I'm going to burn it and just take it for myself. Stuff all you idiots. And then she like goes there and she's burning it. And then like Cersei sets off the wildfire, blows up all of King's Landing. And then like the green fire and Dany's like naked out of the flames. And Cersei like watches her burn. She's burning and melting.
Yeah.
She takes it.
Yeah.
And then Jon comes up behind and steps with the sword and pulls out the fire.
Anyway.
I think there's a good chance that our two queens butt heads in episode 5.
Oh,
as in Dany and Daenerys. Well, Daenerys and Cersei.
Well, they're the only ones. Who do we think doesn't die next week? Daenerys won't.
I think Jorah's dead next week.
Jon doesn't.
I think Jorah's dead next week.
Tyrion and
Tyrion
Jaime
doesn't die.
Don't.
Tyrion and Jaime die
Jaime
now.
Jaime can't. Tyrion probably can.
Tyrion's got more of a chance of dying than Jaime. But
Samwell will live.
Oh yeah, Samwell's going to write the book, A Song of Ice and Fire. Jaime, if Jaime.
Nah, Brienne dies.
Maybe. We'll see.
I think they've concluded Brienne now. She's,
well, she's been knighted. She had her arc.
She's been knighted. And Jaime has been willing to serve under her.
Yeah. You can have a happy ending, though.
She's leading the left flank or whatever. Yeah, I know, but I do think that her story's been written now.
But if Jaime dies, it's anticlimactic because he doesn't die there. He sees Cersei again.
Yeah, it has to.
It has to happen or it's just bad writing. You know? Like, it's okay, thank you for shocking me.
But I think Brienne, Jorah, I'd be sad if he did, but I think he
does. Me too. I just feel like Jorah dies.
That's what I said. I don't think
to unleash Dany.
I think that he does have to
die to unleash Dany.
Have a chat to Dany. about a few things.
Well, he has to have a chat to Danny to calm her down. And if he's not there to calm her down, she burning Tyrion.
We talked about it last week. We talked about it last week after she tells Samwell, oh yeah, I burnt your father and your brother.
Right. Whatever.
And then she sees a reaction on his face and you can see that she looks a bit sad or maybe there's some regret, a tinge of regret, but then she's back to her normal behaviour this week. We said last week, maybe this is the opportunity for Danny to grow or change when she saw Samwell's reaction to losing his father and brother. And then she's in the room with Sansa and then she's all of a sudden...
wants to eat everyone.
Yeah, and then she's
so psychotic when this episode started. I thought, if any podcast is still defending her after the first 10 minutes, then you're just fools. Because she's insane. She's scary at the beginning. You're like, holy shit. She looks good though, that costume again. I've mentioned it before, I'm going to mention it again. The costumes in this show are the best in the world on television and movies. Like, the costumes in season 7 were is incredible. And what they had Buddy Sansa wearing this week was unbelievable. Mm. Like, she looks so freaking sexy that I'd bend the knee there too. I'll be in trouble. I'd bend my knee to all these queens and stuff and ladies of Winterfell. Sansa's just so good. But
what else do we have?
I think the guys are a little bit more boring, their costumes. It's the ladies that they give good costumes.
The women are the stars. We talked about it off pod last week. The female characters are all strong.
Well, they're the stars of this episode.
Some of them may be evil like Cersei, but they're all strong. There's no real weak sort of snivelling characters like there are, say, Baelish was. There aren't the conniving sort of... You know what I mean? You might not like Cersei.
I love Cersei, she's a powerful character.
Yeah. Daenerys is powerful. Sansa's powerful. Whereas... they don't have that sort, like I said, the Baelishes or the... the fellow who has the Unsullied. I've forgotten his name off the top of my head.
Finally has Unsullied.
The guy who gives her the Unsullied.
Oh, the asshole.
You don't have those sorts of characters. You don't have those. Even like people like Roz, they're still strong characters.
Well, they had a better... And the women had a... They arguably were the best part of the episode. This was all about the women, nearly, this episode.
Little Lyanna had her moment.
Oh, I was nice to see Jorah and his...
It was, because it'd been a long time coming.
Well, I wanted to see it. I wanted to see more. This is another reason why I wanted more episodes.
Yeah.
Like the Battle of Winterfell.
You want a bit of a family.
Like Battle of Winterfell was episode 5 and you have 4 episodes of everyone
just hanging out. Say, look, sorry, you had to run the house because of I was selling slaves. Or...
But she shouldn't be on the battlefield. Oh, she's a 9-year-old and she get off the battlefield so
but
that
she
more
ones... Who's going to tell her that she can't get on the battlefield, Nick?
Every man, woman, boy and girl at Bear Island is going to get training, so there wouldn't be many of them. There was only 62.
And Sam is
going to
be in the battle too.
Sam? He was down with Gilly at the end of the episode. He did give the sword to Jorah.
Oh, I guess he listened to Jon.
Do you reckon there's going to be some shit going down in the crypt?
Oh, well, we saw it in the trailer.
Yeah, according to the trailer.
Arya's going to be on the battlefield, though.
Well, she's probably been in bed with Gendry.
She's going to wake up. She's going to be in the crypt, and then she's going to fight in the dark.
Well, that's going to be interesting. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be interesting what happens in the crypt. Like, do they get attacked by zombie Starks?
Her weapon looked all right, too.
Yeah. The bow staff.
She spins it really well. We already saw a bit of it in the trailer.
She learned how to fight with a bow staff in the dark. So I think there might be a fight with the White Walkers in the dark.
Oh, she's going to fight.
I can't see.
She's got big parts to play.
Yeah.
If she doesn't have a
you
big part
to be with Bran?
Theon's looking after. She's going to be
think
the crypt.
A little more than Theon. We've seen Theon's fighting ability.
Theon's a good fighter. He's good with the bow and arrow, too. Remember, season 1, he's actually very good
with
the bow.
He saves from the wildlings.
Yeah.
When Bran gets done that.
But we know that Arya's good with a bow staff, with a sword, with a dagger, with.
Yeah, and the Night King took down a dragon, so he's probably going to need a little more than Theon.
There's a good chance, too, that we have a part of the episode where someone looks like they're going to die, and then we don't see it, and then we never see that character again until a little bit later, and then they show up again later, and then we find out Arya takes the face off at one stage.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I can't believe they got someone who can wear other people's faces and they don't use it enough. And the reason why I don't think they're using it a lot is because they've got one big bang moment where it's going to happen, and they want to shock us. They want us to not expect it.
But we know this.
You know when you watch Mission Impossible, you know that Tom Cruise is going to take a face off every 5 minutes?
We know there's some really, really shocking moment still to come.
Hopefully. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what they've always said, the writers. There are 3 big, big shocking moments.
And what else do I have in my notes? I think
Samwell giving the sword to Jorah.
Which it was nice.
Heart's bang.
Which was a nice scene, and I just thought, Jorah, you're dead.
Oh, that's the one thing that made me wonder if he dies, because that sword has to be...
It's special, but they can find it again.
There's something special about that sword.
Well, everyone thought that might have been Lightbringer.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe Jorah's the prince that was promised.
Imagine if he was.
Khaleesi. And he has to kill Khaleesi to do
it. He's the one who does it.
And he has to kill Khaleesi.
Everyone's going to be lining up to kill her by the sounds. Like John's trying to...
I want to stab her.
For the watch.
Yeah. Oh, he would never be able to do it.
For the throne.
But I do like the idea, if it's not John as the prince that was promised, I do like the idea if it ends up being Jaime and Nissa is Cersei.
Okay.
I do like the idea that Jamie maybe, because that is the ultimate twist. Like, who would have thought Jamie at the end of episode one would be the hero of the show? No one.
It's so different when you see, like, before the episode, that the previous.
I didn't watch. I always close my eyes because I don't want to. But sometimes
but when
I
you see
what
Jamie's
happens next,
hairstyle.
I remember yeah, he looked very just, different.
It did. Yeah.
They all look different. It took a while. Like, the only one that looked good from the beginning was Cersei, but they never got the look right for for Tyrion and
Jamie
for a while. It took like a few seasons to get them. Well, not really. Tyrion a little bit
Tyrion
longer.
Tyrion had that those
yeah that
blonde,
weird hair in the
that
premiere.
Blonde,
yeah.
Sort of blonde.
Yeah, that moment in the brothel. The moment in the brothel, he always looked so different than the rest of the show. That must have been from the original pilot.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they shot that like 10
I'd
months
love to
earlier.
See that.
Oh. Me too. I want to see the original Khaleesi.
Yeah.
And there was another. There was other people too. Obviously, there was a different Catelyn as well, wasn't there?
I think so.
But all the kids were the same. And that's it. That's from all my notes. We've said them all. So is that it?
I'm trying to think if anything else happened.
Does Gendry and Arya get married? Or is this just a one-night fling? Is there a chance that they get married and they continue
well,
to Baratheon line?
Maybe they both survive.
I think
there's
a massive chance they get married now.
Do you think Gendry could really be Cersei's son?
Well, you said that last week and
there's
I love the idea of it.
Yeah.
But it's how do you... Oh, Bran can say it.
Bran can just be revealing everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true.
Affirmative.
But how did... So she just got rid of him instead of killing him, but she couldn't kill her own kid, but she didn't want his... She didn't want a blood...
Baby.
Oh, that's actually not a bad idea, but then she would have mentioned... Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Who knows?
Not necessarily.
I don't mind it, but I do think there's a good chance that... I think Gendry doesn't die in the show at all.
No, I don't think so either.
I think there's, he's nearly like 99% chance of being Gendry Baratheon
if
by the end.
Because obviously bookmakers offer money on who's going to survive at the
he's
end.
He's like nearly the safest.
Yeah, I think so. Because you don't know with John, you don't know with Daenerys.
One of them are going to die. That's a fact.
Yes.
One of them, they won't
well, I think
be
Gendry's
alive at the end.
We say that and he'll die next week.
But John is most likely going to survive.
I think, like I said, but I wouldn't be surprised if Gendry survives and probably Sansa.
What about Missandei?
I think Sansa.
She could survive
so.
The show.
Yeah, I don't
there's
think
no reason to kill her.
It.
Yeah, Grey Worm can die, but there's no reason to kill Missandei.
No, I don't think so. No, so, yeah, you're right.
We need that eye candy.
My God, is she a beautiful woman. Natalia, I don't know. Natalia Emmanuel. Natalie Emmanuel.
Natalie Emmanuel. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. She's so beautiful. It's unfair. I look in the mirror and I look at me and I go, "Damn, there's no chance."
If you looked in the mirror and you say look different, do you think there would have been more of a chance though?
Yeah,
if you just
like,
happened to be what you
sort
of
like Kit Harington
sort of walking around the streets of London.
If I look like Kit Harington and had a few extra feet because he's a short guy, you'd get all the ladies if you look like Kit Harington.
I tell you what, Natalie's been a really good name for Game of Thrones, hasn't it?
Natalie Dormer.
Too. Another one. Beautiful.
Anything else?
I think that's it for this episode.
Prediction for next
and then
week.
We end. Oh, the next week is easy in the sense that it's going to be the Battle of the
People
Winterfell.
People going to fight. We're not going to. Might start off in King's Landing. A
lot of tears.
With Cersei. Then we'll just go to the battle.
And no one thinks they're going to win the battle.
Well, they mentioned
the good guys?
Today about the Golden Company, didn't they? That's one other thing.
Well, the Golden Company were in episode one.
But they said today they've got 20,000 men.
Oh yeah, they said the number. Yeah.
When they said about. You know, you shouldn't have trusted Cersei. And the other one said, well, you shouldn't have trusted her either.
Yeah, good point.
So, you know, I mean, they have to feature at least a little bit next week.
Yeah, that might be...
I don't think we can go two episodes without any...
But story. The Golden Company might be more episode five, protecting King's Landing from when they... Because Cersei's a crazy psycho that doesn't understand.
You think Dragon survive next week?
Hopefully. I don't
you
know.
Think
Dragon's
rides
dying.
A dragon?
Or he could...
Into battle?
But I like him with the sword. He looks so cool.
He's got Ghost.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
human ghost can hop on the back of a dragon.
That's another thing we can mention before we go.
CGI.
Did I mention? I audibly yelled when Ghost showed up because that's the first time Ghost has been in the show since season 6.
I was like, Ghost!
Yes.
And the
it is, isn't it? Yeah.
The complete hatred that these guys have for Ghost when they can have 4,000 hours of dragons is stunningly annoying.
I know the wolves were supposed to be quite expensive to animate
but they
well,
need to
but
be,
just give us a few minutes.
Can't you turn around and... Like, hug him and pat him and say, come on, buddy.
Hey, boy.
Because Ghost and John are like, their souls are connected.
Mm.
And it's just, it's so annoying.
As much as that is with the dragons, because all the Stark kids were with their wolves.
And it's just so annoying that this show just, I don't, you know, come on, surely.
Maybe Nymeria shows up next
week. Maybe, last week, maybe the dragon flight goes a minute less. 1 minute less of dragons
instead
flying.
Of having them. Yeah.
That can't be cheap to do, for God's sakes. Maybe instead of putting a CGI waterfall when they're kissing, because there was a real waterfall and they put a CGI, maybe have a real waterfall and have Ghost. Like, you know, come on.
Yeah, just work on the budget.
If Ghost shows up, okay, he's in the background only, no one acknowledges him, no one pats him. If Ghost dies next week, like in 4 seconds, I will hate the show forever and never watch it again. Because Ghost is my favourite character. I've got a Ghost pop up there.
Yeah, you do.
I love Ghost.
You're looking at him right now.
Ghost is not my favourite. I love it. I love
the, I'm a dog lover. Right. I do think the treatment of the dogs has been quite poor.
Well, like, which one? You know, Bran's bloody direwolf dies in 4 seconds for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, it's in the
summer.
In,
yeah.
Like, it's just like, you really? That's how you're going to kill it? Like.
But what about when they kill Robs?
Well, that was horrible, but that was part of the story.
I know, but
that's part of the story. The way that Bran's dies seems pointless. They just wanted to get rid of it, so they didn't have to do it.
So they have to animate it.
Yeah, that's seriously, because you see it. It's like, they go, Summer, look after. Like, Mira yells at him to, you know, so he can get away. But then he dies half a second later, so it was like just pointless death.
Yeah.
Maybe if he stopped him for 30 seconds, it just annoys me. See, when I read the books, you know, when you read the books, you read the world and stuff, and you see how big the world is. I love that this is a TV show, but sometimes you miss the $200 million budget, what that
maybe
could have done
Ghost
for this show.
Makes a sacrifice to protect.
Because how good would it be good if we lived in a world where this could look like, you know, the Lord of the Rings every week? Like, with the budget and the scope and just...
Because, yeah.
God, but it's just, we don't live in that world because it takes forever to make a movie.
Yeah. Ghost has like a little dragon glass dagger in his mouth.
I just hope they don't kill Ghost. They better not fucking kill Ghost.
They probably will.
They can kill everyone they want in the show.
Ghost dies protecting
anyone.
John.
Maybe not John. John's in, like, really? You
no
kill
point
John?
Killing John and having Ghost survive.
Or Danny next week. Yeah. No point killing Danny either. But like, come on. Ghost. I have this feeling in my gut that they're just going to kill him in 30 seconds, so they have to animate him for the last few episodes. It's going to be Nim and Nymeria are going to go and fight, and they're all going to die, and we're like...
Keep animators employed.
Well, they're not even animated. They're like photo... They're shot separately and put in as plates. Yeah. So it's really hard to do to make it look good.
It's expensive. It's very
come
expensive.
Come on. Come on.
You're spending $15 million.
Dragons. There's so many. The dragons aren't cheap either.
No, they're
to animate something like
it's
that.
It's a choice
is not
between
cheap.
The wolves and the dragons. That's what it comes down
and
to.
And elephants got cut off too.
Yeah.
The dragon.
We better see a lot of dragon work in the next few episodes.
I think you're going to see a lot of dragons.
There's no good. That's going to be.
Well,
no
did we see them all this episode?
No, no dragons.
They're pretty hungry at the moment.
Well, this was a much cheaper episode. Like when it comes to like this was just the cast hanging around talking.
For next week.
Well, next week is going to be huge.
The dragons aren't eating. They don't like North.
I really love the marketing too. Just the idea that now we, apart from like a few little shots from the battle, we have not seen anything from the next 4 episodes really.
Yeah.
And even the next week's like...
Have we seen anything from 4, 5, 6? We haven't.
No, we haven't now.
Well, definitely not from 6
you can
or 5.
No, but you can tell now. There's nothing.
Well, we've pretty much seen everything from that trail already.
Yeah, episode
Iron
1
running
was...
And the odd bit.
Yeah, that's the bits from tomorrow or next week.
Other than that, we've seen...
That's ultra exciting, but that also shows you that they've got something up their sleeve. That's what I imagine.
Mm.
They could be just extra secretive, but it just feels like there's something up their sleeve. Like, they don't want to show you what happens next because it's Danny burning everyone. What if there's a bastard twist? End of next week, they go, we've won. And then Danny goes... She talks to Drogon. Eat him. And then he eats John and rips him apart. And she goes to the Red Queen. Bring him back to life now, bitch. And that's it. And then we're on Cersei's side of the finale. Like, we got to stop her. Cersei was right.
You should be writing TV.
Can I get some of the drugs you're on?
You can't bring him back to life if he's in pieces, though. That's interesting. That's not going to happen.
Do you think we see Ned next week?
No, because everyone forgets that
white,
he came back
white,
in a little box with like no
Ned
head.
Holding his head under his arm.
And then, like,
walking around?
No, I don't think you're going to see Ned. But you will see other Starks.
You think
now,
you actually do?
What is Lyanna's body like? I think you might see... But there'll be skeletons. There'll be skeletons,
pretty,
though.
Huh?
There'll be skeletons.
It'd be...
So, Unless they put some sort of... They come up with some sort of fantasy thing where they preserve them with some ointment. So they actually look like they when they died. Because that'd be kind of freaky if you see Lyanna like... Oh, she won't be covered in her blood when she gave birth, I guess. So.
Yeah. Do we really want to be seeing that, though? I think that's probably enough.
No, but it's really... It's frightening.
Yeah.
It'd be actually like a horror
John's
show.
John's mum chasing after...
John.
Yeah, Aegon.
Well, he called himself his own name this week.
Did he?
Yeah, well,
he said,
I'm Aegon Targaryen. Yeah. The sixth of his name.
Only when he starts announcing himself to everyone else. I've called this meeting to announce that I'm actually Aegon.
The sixth of my name.
The rightful king.
And what if he goes mad all of a sudden? John, with power. I never thought I had power, but now... Burn them all. And then John and Danny happy ever after. They're just burning everyone. That's it.
Just on drag and just burning the countryside.
Burn it. High fiving. That's great.
Yeah.
It's going to be sad when the show ends.
Yeah.
I am going to feel really sad. This is going to be... I can't remember the last time
there'll
a show...
A void.
There'll be such an empty
what
void.
What Star Wars finished as well?
Well, at least with Star Wars, this show we're getting spin-offs too, I guess. That's the difference. But it's not the same.
That's not.
And it won't be the same without them.
It won't be the same without the Skywalkers.
Yeah,
it's going to be a big year, 2019, the end of Game of Thrones, the end of Star Wars. Real Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, the main saga. The main saga.
Real Star Wars ended in 05, but yeah.
Ooh, he's one of those. Oh. Well, that's for a future pod
that's
for, about
that's
Star
for
Wars.
A pod on December 7th,
8th. Well, anyway, I guess that's it for this episode. Overall, I liked it. It was really nice.
Better than last week.
I thought it was...
I think they're probably on par.
I think I'll get to spend time.
I must admit, I found last week's more thrilling. Like the last 10 minutes of last week,
yeah,
had my heart
also
pumping.
Also, you've been away for
thrilling.
18 months too.
This one was more like just nice and pleasant, and I enjoyed it. I'm happy it existed. I really was. And I was disappointed with the reveal of Danny, John to Danny, because I felt like that was just the writers saying, oh, and then the White Walkers come, because they didn't want to talk about it anymore. Like, it just felt like bad writing. Yeah. I wanted more.
There's nothing we've missed, is there?
No, I think we talked about everything.
No, there's a little bit of Gilly that's...
Gilly, there's not much there.
Inconsequential.
Gilly, there's not a lot of
Sam
Gilly.
Sam sort of talking about how he... Oh, that was... I liked the catch up with Ed. That was nice.
Oh, yeah, it was nice.
Good. Yeah.
And then
I'm the only one who killed Thens. A Thenn.
He said, now we know it's near the end of the world. He's got, you know, getting laid. Yeah. And he's,
Samuel's getting laid and he's killing White Walkers. We know it's the end of the
world. I did feel genuine somber when they talked about Gren and Pip.
Yes.
Because I still find that really sad. And when you know, Ygritte kills Pip, I can't believe anyone's sad when Ygritte gets killed. Because the minute she kills Pip, I'm like, stuff you redheaded evil person. And Gren is just, that's one of the best deaths in the show nearly, when it comes to heroic, you know, when they hold the gate.
Oh, when they hold the gate.
And
that's
it's so
really
sad
good.
When you
that
cut to
really
him.
Good. When they show the end, yeah.
So I kind of wish they were kind of alive still. It'd be nice to have the Brotherhood all there. Like they knew each other for 8 years. But
that's not realistic though, is it?
Well, not in this show either. Yeah, so we've seen it. This is it. That's official now. The first two episodes. We've seen the first act. This is the first. Now
season 8, it started off strongly.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's can't, now everyone because...
Everyone says, oh, they're past the books. The writing's gone down.
I don't think the writing's gone down.
They've had a lot to work with, but...
I think the writing is still strong because a lot of the great writing came from them. It's not just... You can't... Just having the book doesn't mean the show can work.
Yeah.
Could it's hard to adapt. A lot worse.
No, it's been great. I've really enjoyed the first two episodes. I mean, they're not the great... I really loved the first episode. I didn't like this one as much, but like I said, it was fine. I liked it a lot. And I like the feeling of just everything has an end game and everything has a focus.
Hmm.
That the season 7, even though season 7 for the most part is good, like overall it gets a tick. First four episodes are really good. The finale is really good. 5 and 6 are a little bit of a mess. But 5 has moments, like really good moments in it. But season 8... has now that they got rid of all that heavy lifting of getting the plot all together, like the mess, now season 8 is just focused. And I love it. And one thing we didn't mention really quickly is that I really loved having more time with Jaime and Tyrion. I just want to mention that. Like, I loved having extended scenes because one of my biggest disappointments of season 7 was when they finally see each other again in Eastwatch, that episode where it has no time for anything.
Yep.
They have like a 2-minute scene that's so good and then it ends and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to see them like hang out and talk more.
Yeah. When he says that he only had one friend, the friend who was sleeping with his sister.
Mm.
Yeah.
Who hated him more than anything in the world. Yeah. And like we've already kind of mentioned, I loved the Hound and Arya scene because last week was just so...
And Beric.
Yeah, it was nice that he showed up. I thought he was going to tell her that he died and came back to life.
That's one of the jokes that went well when he said, you haven't got Thoros here to save you when I chuck you over the side of the
wall. I loved it.
The Lord of Light bring you back just for me to throw you off the edge of the wall.
The Hound's still good.
That was funny. But yeah, I like that scene because last week was too quick. And I was scared that was going to be it.
Yeah.
They spent 2 seasons together, the Hound and Arya. So
yeah.
Hopefully they've got more juice to play with next week together at some stage in the battlefield. And that's it.
Yep.
I guess. So I give this episode 4 out of 5, I guess. Last week was 4.5. Last week was 100 out of 5, but realistically it was 4.5 out of 5. This week was 4 out of 5, I guess.
I feel the same as what I gave last week.
What for?
I think it was 4.75 out of 5.
It really, yeah, it really was one episode split into two. And now it's the first act is over. Right. It's done.
Yeah,
let's get to a battle.
Now we get to the real stuff.
We get to the
4 episodes to go,
Mister.
But 4 really long episodes.
What's a battle?
And Frank agreed. He liked it more than last week. So
I did.
I guess that's it. So before we leave, Tate, do you want to tell people where they can find you if they want to find you?
Oh, if they want to find me, they can find me on the internet, Nick. Anyone can find anyone on the internet these days.
SA Wine Guy.
Yeah, on Instagram, tateboylan_. SA Wine Guy. All one word with an underscore. You'll find me there. You'll find me on Facebook as well. SA Wine Guy.
Cool. And Frank doesn't like being found.
So. Oh, I don't have nothing to be found.
Okay. And you can find me, Tate, Frank, and this podcast, Movie Mingler, and a cast of Ice and Fire at www.moviemingler.com or on Facebook, just type in Movie Mingler, or on Twitter @Movie Mingler. You can also go to iTunes. You can find us there on iTunes. It's really good. and you can rate and subscribe, it's all good. Or you go to moviemingler.com. You click on one of the podcast posts, and if you scroll to the bottom, there's a link that takes you straight to iTunes, Facebook, and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You scroll up, triangle button, you press play, you can hear us. It's really great. Or underneath, download podcast, right click, save as, MP3 forever for you to own. You can watch this episode, turn the volume down, and then listen to us talk about it. It's actually better. Stuff, you know, who cares about D&D's writing?
Some people say it's like the dark side of the moon, Wizard of Oz.
Or you can email me at nickdescalzi@gmail.com, which is nickdescalzi@gmail.com for all your Game of Thrones needs.
And are there any other movie podcasts coming out on Movie Mingler, Nick, for a bit of a change of pace from Game of Thrones?
Well, actually, I just finished editing the latest Movie Mingler with Tate. We did The Rocketeer, the 1991 film by Joe Johnston.
I look forward to listening to that.
Lovely movie. Love that movie. That will be up a day after this pod. So look forward to
and
that.
And anything else?
Avengers Endgame will be coming and we'll definitely be covering it. Even if it sucks, we'll cover it because it kind of feels weird now because we've already done Infinity War. Mm-hmm. So you have to do it.
And you'll get that one up.
I'm sure it won't suck because, you know, it might be not very good.
Well, not many.
But it won't be bad.
Whatever you say about them, not many have sucked.
No, not really. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
We perhaps differ in opinion. I don't think many have reached really great heights.
No, none of them have. Except Infinity War I love and I like Iron Man 1.
But none of them have sucked, really. Even Ant-Man Wasp is...
It's boring.
Tolerable.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
Tolerable.
It's not Suicide Squad.
Iron Man 3 is... Three? Yeah, 3
I like
is,
Iron Man
no,
3
two,
quite a bit.
Tolerable.
I like 2 as well.
Right, but I don't think the movie will suck this Wednesday.
Well, we'll find out. But you'll know because... You'll probably go see it too because the whole world's going to go see Avengers Endgame. I mean, what is it expected to make? $800 million opening weekend worldwide or something? So, like, and it's 3 hours long.
Yep.
It's longer than Ben-Hur nearly. So that's it. That's it. A cast of Ice and Fire, number 31, which we looked at season 8, episode 2, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Brianna Taff is now a knight.
And I'll see you guys for the final episode.
And we'll be back next week with a cast of Ice and Fire.
You guys will be back next week.
And we'll
week.
Talk about the Battle of Winterfell. We actually know the name of the episode. It's only going to be us two, is it?
What is next week?
Battle of Winterfell.
Yeah. Okay.
They're calling it the Battle of Winterfell, but it might not be called the Battle of Winterfell. It might be called Danny's Head Gets Chopped Off and John Gets Stabbed in the Heart. And if you read that title, and you read that title first, you're shit. No wonder they're holding titles off.
All right.
Ciao.
Thank you.
Good night.